God is good. And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. Welcome to First Church. Go ahead and get out your bulletin. In way of announcements, if you'll flip open the front flap, you'll see a bunch of the announcements that we have in here. CPR, AED, first aid class. We are offering a class on Saturday the 29th. It always seems like CPR techniques are changing. So if you want to sort of get updated on that, be sure to attend that. Also, the preschool is hosting a literacy night on the 25th at 7 o'clock. Throughout that week, there will also be a book fair that's going on, so be aware of that. And Kevin and Jenny Smith, are you guys here this morning? I don't see you. Well, Jenny Smith has a baby shower January the 15th at 2 p.m., and I'm echoing. And anyways, be sure, this is actually Jenny's first baby shower to ever have. So be sure to show up for that, send a gift. We really want to bless her with that. And also, tonight, Ignite is in need of a meal. Typically a meal is provided for them. And we are in desperate need for someone to prepare that meal for tonight, because if not, I mean, look at these faces up front, okay? These faces are the faces that will starve, and so I don't want that, honestly. So if you are able, if you cook for Caring Ministries, maybe consider thinking about cooking for them tonight. Are there any other announcements I need to address?
Party's been postponed.
Yes, the Dirks party, it has been postponed. That was scheduled for today, and it's actually scheduled, it's going to start at midnight tonight and go till 3, is that right? Okay. Majorville Road.
At the Griffords.
So, and should we stand and greet each other one more time? Okay. Awesome. And anything else? Seriously? Okay, literacy night, sure. We got one more. Also, in your bulletins, if you would tear out the third page, there's a small connection card there. I say small. It's pretty big, actually. If you would fill that out, okay, put that in the offering plate when it comes by. That way we can know that you're here, kind of know what you're all about, okay? So, again, fill that out and turn that in. And, again, welcome to First Church.
Saves. Bradley?
No prelude.
Prelude? Well, everything else has been done in reverse. Why should we do the prelude first? I mean, you know, right? We've done everything ahead of ourselves, so why not start with the songs and go back to the prelude? What do you think, guys? Yeah. You know, when God's involved, what can we say, all right? So we'll just do that. We'll start with the songs, and right after that, we'll have the prelude, just because I did it wrong. Our God saves. Let's laugh and let's sing loud, all right? Our God saves. It's been a while since we sang praise songs, so we expect you to sing really loud this morning.
In the name of the Father. In the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on the Savior, to fall on your grace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the In the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and
This day to worship, to focus our lives upon you, to focus our hearts and our minds and our souls, Lord, upon the one who created us. We thank you so much, Lord, for this gift to gather together and worship the one who loves us so much, the one who loves us so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for us. So that we might have a relationship with him. God, that's who we understand you to be. And we give you thanks and praise for that sacrifice. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, for all that you give us in our lives. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, for all those things that you protect us from and don't allow us to experience. Holy God, as we worship you as a church today, we ask for your powerful presence to be with us, to anoint us fully, Lord, so that as we come together, we can feel tangibly your presence. We ask for your Spirit in Jesus' name to wash over us and any negative thoughts, any evil that might be in this room, Lord, we ask you to make them run scared from this place. Holy God, you are amazing. We thank you for your presence, your healing Holy Spirit that comes in and among us. Be with us today. Breathe your Spirit over us. Lift us up, Lord, so that we truly
can relax in your arms this day. We give you thanks and praise, God, and we ask that you help us become one with each other and one with you. In Jesus' holy, holy, holy name. Amen. Let everything, everything that has a breath, praise the Lord. Let's get those hands going today. Come on now, let's get those hands.
Now that we are all focused and ready to go, we're ready to worship. Amen? Amen. Mark's going to give us a beautiful prelude as the kids bring in Jesus Light.
Amen. What beautiful music, Mark. Thank you. So beautiful. What a way to start our service this morning. When God does call, we just respond to His call, just like this morning, right? All right. Let's have all the kids come on down now. It's your turn to respond to God's call. Tracy Spry will be leading the kids this morning.
I love Jesus.
Come on now.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you?
I love Jesus. Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you?
Amen.
Good morning. Today, Pastor Eric's going to start a new series called To Save a Family. There's lots of wonderful things we can do with our families. Can you tell me some wonderful things, some things you like about your families?
Have a lot of chocolate and I have my cat.
Have a lot of chocolate and have a cat, okay. Anything else you like about your families? Nobody likes anything about their families? What do you like about your family?
Nothing. What do you like, actually?
No? All right, well. Did they buy you Christmas presents?
Yeah.
Did you like that? Okay. Do they feed you breakfast in the morning or maybe supper at night? Yeah, you like that? Does every parent? No, not every parent does that. My kids eat breakfast at school. Sometimes family time can maybe be not so good. Maybe your brother or sister's picking on you that day and you don't like it. Or... maybe dad's a little grouchy and wants you to be quiet so he can watch TV. Or maybe mom's sick and doesn't feel well. You ever have that happen? And you just know when you wake up that morning that, maybe I better leave them alone today. Or I better not go in my sister's room. Or I'm staying away from my brother. Do you ever wake up and you kind of know that? No? Can you think of some ways that maybe you could get to know your family better so that you know kind of how they're feeling and how to make them feel better, maybe if they're sad or if they're not feeling well, maybe get mom a cold rag to put on her head or say, go lay down, mom, I'll be good today. Can you think of some ways that you can maybe get to know your families better? Anybody? Maybe you could listen to what they're saying when they say, gosh, I don't feel very good today. Maybe you need to hear that. Or maybe you need to see how they're just reacting that day. Maybe there's not a big smile on their face and you know they're not feeling good. And maybe they just need a big hug or something. You know, I think one way that we can get to know our families better and get to know each other better is to talk. Do you ever have conversations with your families? You know, a good time to talk might be at dinner time when you all sit down for dinner. Or maybe before mom or dad tucks you into bed, you might could have a conversation. Or if you're going to have maybe movie night, start 15 minutes early and have a conversation. And I think talking to our families is really important to get to know them. So I have made everybody a conversation cup. And what I want you to do with this conversation cup is you take it home and everybody in your family can write down something that they would like to have a conversation about. Now, it could be anything. It could be something you heard at church today. It could be something at school. It could be talking about your friends. It could be anything that you want to talk about. You might put in there you want to ask your parents what it was like when they grew up. Anything you want to talk about, and you put that in that cup. And then every day, You can pick a conversation out of the cup, and that gives you something to talk to your families about. And that way you can get to know your families better, and you can see how they react to things and how they feel about things. And that, I think, will help us all become closer to our families. Do you think? Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for giving us all this time to be together and time to share with our families. And I pray that as we go through this series, that we each become closer to our families so that we can understand how everybody thinks and feels and have a better life and more appreciation for each other. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's collect change for missions, and then you guys can come get one of these cups to take home to have conversations.
As the children prepare to collect change for missions, let's all turn in our hymnals to number 454, Open My Eyes That I May See. So much. As we turn to our joys and concerns, it's certainly a joy for me this morning to be up here and be able to stand and be the liturgist for you this morning. As you all know, I've been through a lot in the last couple of months, and I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all that you've done for me over these last couple of months through prayers, calls, food. I'd especially like to thank the people involved with the Loops of Love. My prayer shawl is very warm and comforting, and it just meant a lot to me to receive that. And as we go forward today, we have many others that we need to be in prayer for that you will find listed on the back of your bulletin. Paul Dirks is going to be having knee surgery. We want to keep young Paul in our prayers, and I understand your mother didn't want to hear that word football, but But I understand that. I was there once in my life. So anyway, we just have a great joy to share with you this morning, too, that I don't know if you were going to do this or I was going to do it, but I'm going to go ahead. Last Sunday, June and I made a challenge, referenced the apportionments, to be raised. We were short some funds to pay our 20 and 10 apportionments last year. And June and I made a challenge that came clearly from God, because when Randy came around to the Sunday school classes and said that we needed some money, it crossed June's mind and my mind both that if somebody did a little bit, or if everybody did a little bit, that it would certainly, we would get it done. And we didn't discuss it with each other. And when we came up and June sat down in the pew, she started to write our check for our regular offering. And she wrote down the amount of $100. And she, when I came up and sat down in the pew, she says, "Had you thought about this?" And I says, "Yeah, we should do something." She says, "Well, what do you think?" And I says, $100. And she unveiled the check that she had written for $100. And that was a God sign to us that we needed to do something. And we brought it up to Deanna, and she so graciously announced that June and I normally aren't the kind of people that express how much we want to give or have given or anything. We kind of keep that to ourselves because we feel like it's between God and us. But anyway, you responded. God's will was done. I'm not sure the total amount. Have you got a figure on that? Or Randy got a figure on that, the total amount that...
Well, including the item that just made yesterday, I think it was about $2,600.
Yeah, roughly about $2,600. And so I guess I want to reissue that challenge today. We're still short some funds. And if you can't afford to give $100, don't feel like you have to. If you can give $1, or if you can give $5 or $10, every little bit helps. The only thing we ask is that you make it above and beyond your regular offering. So as we go forward in our time of prayer, be in prayer for that in your own heart, what you can give, if you can give, and don't feel bad if you can't. We know in the times that we struggle, and it's sacrificial. So we just ask that you pray about that between now and the time for the offering. And as we go to the Lord in prayer, we certainly also want to keep our service personnel serving overseas at home. June and I had a great joy this week. The other night I was doing the dishes a couple of days ago, and my daughter crossed my mind, and I thought, I need to call my daughter. So I called her. Her husband is coming home this week. We don't know an exact date because he's in a very secretive job, but he will be home this week. The first portion of his troops, he's over 87 troops, and the first portion of his troops are already home. So he will be home hopefully this week. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord God, as we come before you this morning, we're just so thankful. We know that you save, and as we sang the song, God saves, I remembered that God also heals. Lord, we ask for your healing to come over those that need it today, that the ones that are facing surgery, that you will touch them, be with them, whether it be knees, cancer, hernias, whatever it is, Lord, that's in their bodies that needs to be healed. We just ask your loving, touching hand that will heal in whatever way you feel needed. Lord God, we just thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for all of our servicemen, our personnel. We thank you for those that responded to the challenge to raise funds for our apportionments last year. Lord, we just ask that those funds be doubled today. Lord, we ask that you continue to support this church through blessing the people and blessing this church as we serve. Lord God, we just thank you for everything you do for us. We just pray your blessings once again on everything that we do, that we might be a service to you. These things we pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
Amen. If you'd turn to John chapter 9. Eric, I thought it'd be appropriate if we did the Bible pledge in reverse.
Oh.
Think we could do that?
Yeah. Hey.
You can just roll it back, right?
Go for it.
Go for it. John chapter 9. John is the fourth gospel in the New Testament. And something that's unique to John is that John wrote his gospel, I would say, probably 30 years after some of the others did. And so Christianity really got a chance to express itself for maybe like 60 years. And so here we are 2,000 years from everything that's going on. And if we were to write about that, think about how much we could say and how big God is. And so that's sort of the perspective that John writes from in his gospel 60 years after Christ. And so still with many eyewitnesses, John is just a very different gospel altogether. Once you get to John chapter 9, John 9, if you would fold that on your hand, stand up, and not in reverse, say with me the Bible pledge.
This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
So in John chapter 9, verse 1, it starts with, as he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some were saying, is it he? Others were saying, no, but it is someone like him. He kept saying, I am the man. But they kept asking him, then how were your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. Then I went and washed and received my sight. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Thank you, Justin. Well, we are really excited this morning. We're beginning a teaching series that has been coming for a long, long time. It's called To Save a Family. Now, I don't know if you remember, a while back, you might remember this movie that we showed in the sanctuary here. We invited all of the youth, actually we invited the entire community, but we wanted specifically to focus on the youth of the community. And I've slept just a tiny bit since then. I can't remember how many churches, I believe like 8 churches were represented. 8 were responded and 7 came. With that, 186 people came to watch this movie called To Save a Life, To Save a Life. And it is about a teenager by the name of Jake Taylor who struggles to figure out how life works after a friend of his dies. As a matter of fact, that friend of his committed suicide at school in front of him and many other people as well. It is a story of many of our youth today. I mean, we have had suicides even here in our Warsaw area. The young lady that just a few months ago that we all experienced, and it was a terrible thing that our youth had to deal with, because, you know, you always think, boy, what if I would just done this, right? What if I had just said, what if I had just said hi when she walked down the hallway that day before? Well, during this journey in the movie, Jake finds a mentor who helps him a lot, and a lot of other teenagers as well that need help, and they all come together. It is inspirational, but this film was a story and a movie that changed lives. I mean, teachers at school that were here that night said, you know what, kids were different for a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks after that, and it's too bad that we can't do this on a monthly basis or something like that was the comments that we were receiving. Well, you know, as I watched it, and obviously others as well, we began thinking about how does this movie affect the family life. And as I look around this congregation, and maybe all of us have tremendous family lives, but I know that people in this community struggle with their family life. And so as I watched that movie, I was beginning to think, how can we as a church help these families? And how can we, as a church, and all the families involved here, help families outside this church go through these hard times? So over these next several weeks, we're going to talk about some of the most important practices for forging strong families. And with God's help, we're going to raise the quality of your family by helping you become a better family member. Now, if I can lift up any guarantee at all, it is that if you come every week for the next 6 weeks and apply each of these lessons that we're going to be going through, you will be more likable. You will be more lovable and positive. You will be a better contributor to not only your family, but to your inner circle of friends as well. And I extend this guarantee to every kind of family that we have in this church. We may have people without parents. We may have people without kids, excuse me. You may be a single parent. You may be a traditional family, what you think of as a traditional family. You may be grandparents that are raising your grandchild. You may be empty nesters that are just having a lot of fun that now you're out on your own again. Whatever place you are in, did I hear somebody go woohoo on that one? Whatever place you are in, you can glean information from this teaching series over the next several weeks and help it with your whatever relationships you do have in your life. Now, I can't promise to save your family from sorrow, but I can promise that you will be a person who saves your family from a lot of pain, because you will be a better family member if you come faithfully. Is that a fair deal? Can we do what we can do in our prayers and our lifestyle, right? So in the movie, Jake is the star basketball player at his local high school. He's wrestling through some issues and deep down would really like to process this with his dad about the death of his friend. Watch now as we watch this video clip and how the family interacts in this clip, and see if you think this is a typical or atypical family.
Good morning, sunshine.
How was your trip?
Sorry, missed your game. I tried to get us back last night, but Dad had so much work.
Where is he?
I see you were the last second hero again, huh?
Yeah, Dad, it was crazy. Doug shot that ball, I knew exactly where it was going to go. Yeah. 1 second left, I tipped the ball in, hit the ground.
Yeah, well, you got a lot going for you, Jake. Just don't get stupid with this kamikaze ball, okay?
Dad,
I'm just saying, do you know how easy it would be for you to get hurt, lose your scholarship? It's not like you're going to get in any other way, huh? Not with your grades. Just use your head, son. Right? I'm late, I'll call.
You're working on Sunday? You just got home.
Somebody's got to pay the bills, kid.
What your father means is we're proud of you.
Yeah, I really felt that from the one game that he went to.
He's really busy at the office.
Mom, would you stop defending him?
He's just...
doesn't get it. It's my life, not his.
Where are you going?
Go to church.
The amazing thing about that point in the movie is that's the first time that he has actually been to a worship service at the church. The youth group, he's attended a couple times, and now he's decided to go to church in that. I don't know, maybe that was what family was like when you were growing up. Maybe that is what family is like now if you are currently growing up. Maybe because you grew up that way, you think that is the way it is supposed to be. The father, I mean, the only reason why we can live in the house that we live in and eat the food and all that that we have is simply because my dad is absent in my life or my mom is absent in my life. Well, hopefully, after the next several weeks, you won't believe that anymore. And if you're one of those parents that are never present for your children, I hope that you'll reconsider how you're living your life in that regard. I don't know if you've thought about it much, but the family is looking a lot different today than it did just a few decades ago. Amen? I mean, if we back up a few centuries, life moved a bit slower, and it was much easier to communicate. Now, I don't know. I honestly don't know. You know, we live about 7-8 miles out of town. If we were in a horse and buggy this morning coming to church, Larry, do you know how long it would take? About an hour. Just so you know, that's an ongoing joke between us, all right? I'm not picking on good old Larry. But yeah, I have no idea. Dick Kreisel spoke up and said 2 hours, and if he didn't laugh, you know, in the first service, if he didn't laugh, I would have taken him seriously. I don't know. You know, but I mean, we would have had, if it's an hour, we would have an hour as a family to talk. On the way to church, we would have had an hour as a family to prepare our hearts and our minds and our souls for worship, right? But today the world seems a lot smaller, doesn't it? And we expect things a lot quicker, don't we? And we become impatient with face-to-face communication, don't we? I believe being a strong family really does require more conscious effort today than it ever has before. But on the upside of the equation, we have far more help and far more resources for family building than any generation in history. If diamonds are made under pressure, you and I have the opportunity to forge stronger families than anyone we've ever known because of the combination of pressure and available resources today. So let's jump to part one of our series, How Do You Understand Others? Author Dave Carlson writes, recently a research project was conducted in which about 240 counseling agencies across the country were asked to identify the primary problem that their counselors encountered. It was reported that almost 80% of the problems brought to the agencies concerning marriage and family life had to do with communication. Communication. So if communication is the number one problem for families, I want to tackle it this morning. Can I do that? Can I get an amen on that? Let's tackle this communication problem. Communication can be a very complex issue. Now, I don't understand where they get these percentages. You know, someone much smarter than me must have studied them or something. But the common thought is that about 93% of our communication comes not from our words, but from our facial expressions, our posture, our vocal inflections, and other nonverbal things that we do. But I've discovered it's not so much that communication is difficult for the family today, but that it is lacking. Can I get an amen on that one? We don't do it enough. We don't communicate enough. Author Tim Hansel suggests that if you're married, now this really pained me. Jamie, for just a second, close your ears, all right? Seriously, it really did hurt me because of the reality of our lifestyle and what this said. The author, Tim Hansel, suggests that if you're married, you should spend at least 15 minutes a day communicating with your spouse. Hi, Jamie. My name's Eric Dirks. Good to meet you. There's 2 minutes, right? Oh, anyway. But guess what? Now, many of you may... I was just trying to be funny there, by the way. I don't need phone calls. Dr. Willard Harley, some of you remember him. I quoted him many times in the teaching series that I did a few years ago on love, marriage, and sex. If you remember that, many of you came for all the wrong reasons for that, but that's all right. That's all right. But anyway, Dr. Willard Harley suggests if you're married, you should spend at least 15 hours a week communicating with your spouse. What do you think about that? Wow. Now, here's the deal. He says, you spend that much time when you're courting your mate. Why should it stop when you're married? And probably 15 hours a week when you're courting someone is conservative, right? Really? Choose either time frame and you end up with the same principle, and that principle is that strong family members spend time with each other. But like Jake's dad in the movie, we tend to concentrate on the things on our to-do list, don't we? And assume everyone around us is doing okay unless they take the initiative to let us know otherwise. And you know, this, I was talking to somebody on the way out, and it reminded me of a story. The senior pastor, whenever I was a student local pastor at Liberty, Missouri, the senior pastor then, I walked in his office one day and he was vacuuming. And I said, Glenn, what in the world are you vacuuming for? And he was kind of an older guy and he held on to the vacuum and said, Eric, sometimes it's nice to see things getting done. And he went back to vacuuming, right? Well, I mean, sometimes in our marriage, that's the way we feel. It's always there. There's no conclusion to it. That's why we want to do the to-do list, right? Because we can get it done. Well, Jamie wouldn't say that about me, but we can try to get it done, and there is a conclusion to it. But marriage, it's kind of ongoing, isn't it? Can I get an amen on that? And that little laugh. It's just ongoing, and it seems like we work hard, and then, man, the next week we're tired, and we let up a little bit, right? Well, that's why each person in the relationship gives 100%, right? Maybe it's 100% 1 week and 80% the next. But between the two of you, it's 200%. Amen? Yeah. So, but I don't know. Maybe that's one reason. But to be a strong family member, we must spend time with each other. So, our scripture for today shows us a great picture of what I'm talking about. Now, if you put your Bibles away, please get them out. Again, hopefully you brought your Bible, but we have pew Bibles for you. If you would open up to John chapter 9. New Testament, it's in the back of your Bible, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 9. Remember, this is a story of a man who was born blind. Born blind. People back then that were blind were unemployable. So this man had spent his entire life begging. Just listen to what Jesus does when he sees this man. Now, as we read this story, most people who read it think, you know, that this is a story demonstrating Jesus' power and compassion, and that is true. But if you look a little deeper, we find that there's three different groups of people to look at, and the way they look at the blind man in three different ways. Now, the first that I want to look at is Jesus, and he's the example that I want us to follow. So let me read the first sentence to you again. As Jesus went along, he saw a blind man from birth. He saw a man blind from birth. Dyslexia there, I guess. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. Now, what is the first thing? This sounds obvious, so I don't want you to miss it. What is the first thing that Jesus did when he encountered the blind man? As he went along, he what? He saw the blind man. He actually looked at the blind man. His eyes were open to the man sitting there. Now that may seem silly. Eric, why in the world would you be lifting that up? Think about all the people that we don't see every day when we walk down the sidewalk or in Walmart or at the grocery store, wherever it is we go. How many people are we blind to? But Jesus was not blind to this man. He looked at him. He saw him. Now, so that's the first example. The other group of people in that scripture are the disciples. When the disciples looked at the man, they didn't really see a man, did they? What did they see? They saw a theology lesson, didn't they? You see, in that day, it was believed that if someone was born with a physical handicap, it was probably their fault or their parents' fault. So the disciples looked at the person and they said, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So Jesus looked at the person and the disciples looked at the potential object lesson. And the third group of people in this passage were the man's neighbors. The man's neighbors. Now, they never really saw this man at all, did they? If you look at your scripture. The text doesn't tell us how old he was, only that he was a man, so we can assume that he is considered an adult in that culture. People didn't move often in that day and maybe didn't move at all, so these neighbors may have known him since he was a baby and saw him grow up. Yet they had looked at him so infrequently as a blind man that after he was healed, they weren't even sure if he was their neighbor. Do you ever think about that? They were so blind to him, right? That they weren't even certain that this was the same man. They weren't even certain that many of them saw this boy grow up into manhood as a blind man. They weren't even certain if it was him. Even when he says, "I am the man," these people aren't sure if he is or not. Of all the people who encountered the blind man, only Jesus saw him. Only Jesus paid attention to him. And, you know, that's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Think about that. People's attention is so valuable that we attach a cost to it. Have you ever thought about that? It's amazing when God does this to me and it just blurts out. And sometimes it's like, I don't understand it. But anyway, we don't do attention, do we? We don't make attention, do we? What do? We pay attention. Because our attention is valuable. We pay attention. All right, now I know some of you aren't used to this. Others have forgotten that I even do it, but I actually have sermon notes for you this morning from some real quick points that I want to lift up. If you get it out, grab a pencil or pen and follow along this morning. This is the first and very simplistic thing you need to do if you're going to be a strong family member. Strong family members pay the price to pay attention to each other. Pay the price to pay attention to each other. This is both easy and hard to do. I read once, and I swear this came to me as a true story, how it was written. When Franklin D. Roosevelt was president, he got tired of smiling that big smile of his and saying the usual things at all those White House receptions. So one evening he decided to find out whether anybody really paid attention to him. At the next reception, as each person came up to him with an extended hand, he flashed his big smile and said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." People would automatically respond with comments like, "How nice!" Or, "Just keep up the great work that you're doing." Nobody listened to what he was saying except for one foreign diplomat, of course. When the president said to him, "I murdered my grandmother this morning," the diplomat softly responded, "I'm sure she had it coming to her." How often do we sit around the breakfast table reading the newspaper and tuning out everyone around us? How often? Or spend evenings watching CSI or football. CSI, that's a whole other sermon, isn't it? But anyway, CSI or football while the family members are growing up around us. Here's an idea. Tomorrow morning, spend a few minutes looking out the window, appreciating what God has made for you. You know, it's interesting, and along that regard, Paul and I were listening to the news last night. Probably Jamie was talking to us and we didn't hear it. No, just kidding. But Paul and I were listening to the news, and it was such a newsworthy event. They lifted up that people saw bald eagles somewhere. I don't even remember where they were, because Paul and I got in our own conversation. Paul said, "What are you talking about? We just had six in our backyard yesterday. Three babies and three adults," right? Now, how awesome is that? I mean, granted, the Dirks family may be a little odd. We pay attention to stuff like that. We even stop in the middle of the road when we see them, don't we? Yeah, we do, to watch the bald eagles, right? Because why? That's just an amazing sight. That creature of God, right? Spend time looking out your window and appreciating what God has made for you. And then, that was not a period there. That was a and statement. And then, turn around and spend a few minutes looking in your house at who God has made for you. Really experience the pure joy of being in relationship with them. Those moments may turn out to be more enjoyable than any football game or any CSI show. In verse 4 of this passage, Jesus says, it's chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus says, "As long as it is day, we must do the works of Him who sent me." What in the world does that mean? Well, I think Jesus is saying, you now have an extraordinary opportunity, but the opportunity is limited. Like daytime, it will not last forever. And now in my life, I'm understanding more than ever with my three boys, and I didn't ask them permission, so I apologize, guys. Paul being a freshman, I'm realizing I have 3.5 years with that boy. The last 15 years went like that. I want the next 4, and Paul's going, "Oh, dear God, please, no, no, no. I want the next 4 to slow down." Right? Spend time. The seasons don't last forever, do they? Open your eyes and your spirit to what you have right in front of you and enjoy it. Accept it. Because it is so possible to miss the wonders taking place around you, and most of those wonders have to do with the people you love. Amen. Jake's dad missed his basketball games. In fact, he almost missed the entire basketball season. Now, I know there's work to be done, but what's the point of being a family if we don't pay attention to each other? One of my favorite memories is when Jamie and I took the boys and mom and dad to see the Harlem Globetrotters. As I was growing up, I would hear dad, every time the commercial came on TV, you know the song, you can hear it from in the next room, right? And dad would always say, "Oh man, I would love to take you to that sometime." And then he would tell me the story, whether I've heard it 50 times or not, he would tell me the story how his dad, my grandpa, Paul's namesake, played the Harlem Globetrotters when they came to Stanbury, right? When they first got started, that's what they did. They got local teams together, and those local teams played them as they traveled, right? And they would sell tickets to that. Well, and so my grandpa played the Harlem Globetrotters. Isn't that awesome, right? I'm sure it's not the same guys. But but I heard that story every time that commercial came. And a few years ago, Jamie and I took the boys and mom and dad to see Harlem Globetrotters. It was so amazing how God blessed me to hang on to that memory. And we had the opportunity. And we asked mom and dad if they'd go with us. And a 75-year-old man was like a kid in a candy shop. Second key, I'm going to move quicker here. Strong family members ask great questions. Ask great questions. If you read through other stories about Jesus, sometimes you'll see that he was not only a good speaker, he was a great question asker. Just real quick, write these down and you can look at them later. John 1:37. Jesus simply asks some guys following him around, "What do you want?" Have you ever stopped something you're doing and asked someone in the room with you, "Hey, what you need something? What do you want?" And then actually stopped and listened to what they said. Another one, John 4:7. He walks up to a Samaritan woman at a well in the heat of the day. And he opens up a line of communication that ends up spinning into changing an entire community. And all he asked her was, "Will you give me a drink of water?" John 5:6. He asked a man who was crippled sitting next to a well, "Do you want to get well?" One chapter further, Jesus is teaching a large crowd on a hillside, and he realizes that they're all getting hungry. And instead of telling the disciples what to do, he asks them, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" And think of the great teaching story that spun out of that situation. Think through some of the best conversations you've ever had where you felt really connected to the other person and you really felt known by the person you were talking with. I would guess that in that real conversation that you experienced, that person asked really good questions. So let's talk about really communicating for just a minute. Write these down. You have blanks on your insert. The first level of communication is facts. Now, you know what? These aren't very deep. It's 15 degrees outside. That's communicating. I just communicated to you, right? But it's not really where we want to go today, is it? The next is events. Hey, the Colts and the Jets played a great game yesterday, didn't they? I might even get an amen out of that from some guys. The third level is Susie. It's people. Wow, that's a mind trick. A whole other conversation. No, the conversation is Susie just had a facelift. I bet you didn't know that, did you? I know something you don't know. Susie just had a facelift. You know, that would stir up some conversation, wouldn't it? Yeah. John hates politics. Bill's got a new job. Right? Four, ideas. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and Savior of the world. Say that to someone, and suddenly you're sharing a very stimulating item, some very stimulating material. The conversation may go deep or it can get heated, and that's when it's really fun, isn't it? And fifth, where we want to go today, is feelings. I'm tired today. You know, I'm really hurt. I'm happy, I'm bored, I'm jealous. This is where we live, isn't it? Really? Honestly? This is where it gets deep. Well, we need to remember that strong family members live in all five of these areas. Facts, ideas, people, events, feelings. Three, strong family members know that loving means listening. I'm sure you've heard the saying, God gave us two ears and one mouth because we should do twice as much listening as we do speaking, right? One of the greatest verses on the family in the entire Bible is James 1:19. Write it down, James 1:19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. You can probably say it with me. Slow to speak. And slow to become angry. Notice the one quick and the two slows. Be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. Slow to speak. And slow to become angry. Sometimes we're so focused on what we think is important and what we are doing that we forget to think about the other person and their situation. Listening to another person talk about their feelings is a great gift of love. Strong family members communicate love through touch. Years ago, in a classic work called People Making, psychologist Virginia Satire said that it takes 8 meaningful, healthy touches a day to maintain mental health. Do you get touched in a healthy way 8 times a day? It takes 12 touches a day to grow, they claim. Sometimes the best way to communicate love is to put your hand on somebody's shoulder, right? Touch their hand, touch their arm. Mark 1, Mark tells of a story of Jesus when Jesus touched a man with leprosy. The man hadn't been touched since he was diagnosed with leprosy. And Jesus thought it was more important to touch him first and then to heal. have some family assignments for you to do. If you look on the back of your bulletin where the joys and concerns are, you have a little space on either side. I want you to take your pen or pencil and write these down. Family assignment. One, develop a habit of healthy touching. Develop a habit of healthy touching with your family. Touch first thing in the morning, touch before you leave the house, touch when you get home. That's three. To get to eight, you're going to have to go deeper, aren't you? To get to 12, you've got to do some work, don't you? Two, spend some time paying attention to every member of the family each day. You know, my boxer, I almost wish people were this way, but my boxer, he's about 80 pounds. His head is a little bit smaller than a basketball. Some of you have met him. You never know for sure where he's looking. If you've ever known a boxer, you understand what I'm talking about. But anyway, he tells me when I've been ignoring him. If I'm sitting there, he puts that big old head right in my lap and says, "Yo, Dad, you haven't been paying attention to me." Or else we're standing in the kitchen or something, and he puts his big old paws up on your chest and says, "Hey, look at me." Right? I matter. But we don't do that as people, do we? We kind of act out in other ways, don't we, to get attention? Yeah. Spend some time paying attention. Three, ask at least one good question every day. Become an expert at this. Then after you ask your question, listen quickly and speak slowly. Now, I don't mean speak slowly. That's not what I mean. I mean listen. Wait. Stop. And then respond. Now, guys and gals, every Sunday, ask every member of your family, "What did you learn today?" And then really listen to their answer. And quite honestly, we'd love to hear that. Right? We'd love to hear that. What did you learn today? And six, especially, well, all the time, I feel like this church really tries to do our best to pay attention to what's going on in the community and speak about it, but invite others to hear this important teaching series on saving their family. You know what? You, because of your invitation, may save their family. So I ask you today, do you receive this teaching message? Will you put it into practice this morning? Pray. Holy God, we thank you so much for your message. We thank you, Lord, for this concept of saving a family. We give you praise for all those, Lord, who put their time and energy and effort and money into making this powerful movie that has already changed lives across this United States. I ask you, Lord, in a powerful way that you change the lives of the people in this church. Help them, Lord, listen intently. Respond. Take their time, Lord, to respond. Touch daily in a good and healthy way. See those who are in need around us, God. We have so many areas of which to grow, and we give you thanks and praise. Amen. Next week, we're going to talk about fighting fair. Fighting fair. Anybody interested in fighting fair? No. Why do that, Eric? All right. If you are able, would you please stand and turn to our song of invitation today? Happy the home when God is there. Let's do the first, second, and fourth stanzas. It's number 445. And while we're singing that, Christy Hollis, Karen, would you please come forward at this time? seated. Guys, would you kind of just make a half moon right around me here facing me? Thank you very much. I am so excited today as well. You know, we're starting great things, this teaching series, and we have great folks joining our congregation today, and I just celebrate that you guys have made this decision today. Thank you so much, Hollis and Karen and Christy. Now, Christy, tell me how you pronounce your last name. Barrent. So this is Christy Barrent, all right? Christy Barrent. So that way you know how to pronounce her last name when you see her, right? And then, of course, Hollis and Karen, would you turn around? This is Hollis and Karen Hensley. So many of you know them already. Hollis is singing with us in the praise team, and of course, Christy is singing with us in the choir. So anyway, they have already become active in your congregation and this congregation. So, all right, turn and face me. You all are baptized Christians and are transferring your membership here to First Church. You've answered these questions before, but for the good of all of us together, I just want to share with the congregation your answers, and that way we can all celebrate with you. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you understand that there are evil powers in the world creating brokenness and suffering, working against God's plan of healing and wholeness? If so, answer, I do. And do you pledge to daily ask for forgiveness for any thought, word, or action of your own that creates brokenness rather than wholeness? Do you accept the freedom, power, and responsibility God gives you to resist this evil that creates injustice and oppression? I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to daily and in every situation serve Him as your Lord, working together with the church, which Jesus has opened to all people, no matter what age, race, or social standing? I do. According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? I will. You're good. Wow. All right, church community, if you would stand with me at this time. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? Please respond together. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust in God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Amen. Please be seated. All right, as a member of Christ's universal church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? The membership covenant that you sign states, I will grow spiritually and support the spiritual growth of our church community. I will share in the purpose of our church community. I will find some way to grow in faith apart from Sunday morning worship, and I will protect the unity of our church community. Do you fully understand this covenant and promise to uphold it? Members of the household of God, I entrust these individuals to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love, and show them how a true community of faith stands with them in the crossroads of life. Will you respond with me and say, we will, we will. All right, would you turn and face the congregation? The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Jesus Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that with God's power and freedom, you may live in grace and peace. Please join me in welcoming these three wonderful individuals to our church family. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Awesome.
Now at this time, if the ushers would come forward for our time of offering, please don't forget to put your connection cards in the offering plate. And also, if you are making a contribution to the 2010 apportionments, please note that on your check. If you're combining it with your regular offering check, please note what amount you would like to go to the 2010 offering. And if you're making a contribution in cash, just stick it in an envelope you'll find on the back of the pew and note it for, just put 2010 on there. That'll make it. Thank you.
God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Closing song will be the chorus from Let Everything That Has Breath. It'll be on the screen.
Our screen went blank. You know the words. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord.
Let everything that, everything that, everything that has breath, praise the Lord.
This place, know that you are a child of God. God loves you so much. Please don't ever forget that. As you leave today, know that God goes with you. God celebrates with you. God cries with you and holds you tight in His arms when you don't think you can take another step. God is in your family. God created the family unit and wants it to be successful and safe and loving and a way for us to mature in a healthy way in our life. Amen. So know when you go from this place that God is with you in every avenue of your life. I hope that you've experienced God's presence today. And I just pray that you understand that God goes ahead of you in all that you say and all that you think and all that you do. Be safe. Ah, there it is. Shalom to you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.